All right, good evening, everyone. Welcome to the Derry Township Board of Supervisors regularly scheduled meeting for Tuesday, July 9th, 2024. It's approximately 7:07 p.m. The board met in executive session tonight beginning at 6 p.m. to discuss personnel issues. And that executive session concluded at approximately 7:05 p.m. So at this time, I'm calling our regularly scheduled meeting to order. I would ask everyone to rise for the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, Mr. Christman, would you please conduct a roll call?
Certainly. Supervisor Zamuda.
Here.
Supervisor Corrado.
Here.
Supervisor Nutt.
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff.
Here.
And Supervisor Abruzzo.
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right, very good. So all members of the board are present. We have more than a quorum. We have the full membership of the board tonight. This takes us to the first item on our agenda, which is our normal visitor or public comment session. So there's a session now and one at the end of the meeting. Anyone wishing to address the board and place comments into the record, this is the time and place to do so. We just ask that you identify your name, first name, last name, and address. And we try to keep your comments to about 3 minutes. So with that, is there anybody who would like to come forward? All right. Seeing as none, we will move forward to the consent calendar. There are three items on the consent calendar. And the board has the authority to approve all items in one motion or take each item individually. You can see there is a copy of the agenda at the front desk that lists those items out, but I will defer to my colleagues on their wishes. So would you like to take them all in one motion or individually?
I move that the board accept the consent calendar items A through C as made public in tonight's agenda.
Very good. Motion is made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Any questions or comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion and all items under the consent calendar for this evening's meeting, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. Motion passes unanimously. That'll take us to new business. The first item under new business is a Derry Township Municipal Authority update by Mr. Recop and Mr. Postick.
Thanks, Mr. Chairman. I'm going to defer most of my time this evening to Mr. Postick because he's got a great update for our road maintenance project that's going to be kicked off here in construction soon. So a lot to go over on that for the public's interest. But for the Clearwater Energy Enhancement Project, I do want to note since January of this year, we've been co-generating and exporting power that we've been generating on site with fueling our co-gen system with our renewable energy biogas. So we've been, our electric bill since January per month has been less than a dollar. That saved the authority about $30,000 to $40,000 a month.
Can you do any better than that, Bill?
So it's working. It's doing what we set out to do.
Yeah, that's outstanding.
Thank you. Other thing to note, in May we received, in partnership with Hummelstown Borough, the Dauphin County Premier Projects Award, and that was for the Deer Run.
It was for the Deer Run and Bullfrog Valley Stream Restoration Project. So Mike Posse was in presence for that for, I think it was a May 22nd commissioner's meeting, I believe, that we received that and that recognition. So we're honored to be, we applied for it and then we did receive it. So I think we're the only project this year that got it.
Yeah, we're partnered with Hummelstown. That's the award.
And the last item I have for the board as an update, we received $4.2 million in grant money from PennVest.
Wow, great.
So that was for our biosolids facility improvements project. I know Mike and Carter give great updates on the board and things, so it might have been an old update, but we're really happy about that. So to date, even since going back to the Southwest plant upgrade, we received over $7.7 million in grant. So we're finally, as a utility, being rewarded for having projects shovel ready.
Yeah, so that's great work, Bill. Kudos to everybody at the municipal authority for that. The residents in this township, who are largely the ratepayers, I know we serve outside the township as well, but the residents you know, they don't see the work that gets done there, but the work that your team does there is terrific, and you guys provide an outstanding service to the community at an amazing rate. We get a lot for what we pay for, and you and your team deserve a lot of credit for that.
Thank you. Much appreciated. And we're going to keep doing our public outreach and having facility tours and things like that so the community can come in and see the plant and some of the cool projects we've
done. Yeah, that's great. Thank you.
I want to give the podium here to Mr. Postick.
Excellent.
Thanks, everyone.
Thank you.
Thanks, Bill.
Good evening, everyone. Thanks for having us here tonight to discuss this project. As Bill mentioned, our Ridge Road Drainage Improvements Project is looking to kick off probably in August. And what we wanted to do here tonight is give an update as to where it stands, primarily on schedule and impacts. Projects, obviously, the board is well aware of its impending start, so we wanted to just give you more of an update tonight as to where we stand and field any questions you may have. Obviously, that is where the project will start. It'll extend from Park Avenue and down the private driveway to Hershey Park with a discharge.
Park Boulevard.
In the Spring Creek, and we'll extend all the way up through Ridge, cross Chocolate, and end about a block off where Second Avenue is. And to get into history and the purpose of the project, it's been a while coming with some drainage issues at the intersection of Ridge and Chocolate, in particular in front of the businesses at that intersection at the corner. As you can see, a picture there of some flooding that has occurred. And in addition, the orange fence there, which has been installed for quite a while to keep that runoff during heavy events from splashing up onto the curb and onto the businesses, and have an impact on tourists and the business traffic as well. History of the project, it's been some time since the existing storm sewer in that area has been over capacity, a combination of that commercial development there at that intersection, other downtown redevelopment. Again, the goal of the project is to address flooding at that intersection. And in addition, flooding at the railroad underpass where Ridge Road passes underneath the Norfolk Southern Railroad. Related to that flooding at that underpass, this project has a secondary benefit of if there's ever a worst-case scenario where that is flooded, either that intersection or the underpass happens to occur during an emergency situation. It's obviously the reroute around that is it could be cumbersome during an emergency situation. So this is going to address that as well. Project's been around for a while. The first attempt at looking at addressing the flooding problem was really focused on right in front of those businesses at that intersection. The more we looked at it, the more we realized it was more cost-effective to expand it, address flooding further down, get it to a really good, confident solution. Expanding the capacity right in front of that intersection might have helped, but to get a more robust system all the way down the creek ensured that there wasn't a probability of a really good improvement. It was a definite of improvement in all kinds of storm conditions. Doing that, obviously expanding the project further and further in greater scope increases the cost, so it took a while for us to find ways to develop funding for it. The stormwater fee contributing to it, but given its size, we needed more than that, and that's why the past 2 years, 23 and 24, we looked at getting, and 22, I believe, is the first round, too, funding from the Dauphin County Infrastructure Bank, low-cost loan, worked out rather well. The total project, our loans amount to about $6.3 million. That includes, obviously, the construction project, preliminary engineering, final engineering, permit fees, some breathtaking railroad fees, and anything else we look for construction management, too. So our bid came in. We're awarding it to Ankiewicz Enterprises. They were the contractor that actually did the work on Spring Creek. Good relationship with them, very good contractor, so we're pleased to have them on. And their construction cost, their bid approved, was lower, almost $5.5 million. So it's well within our budget, too, which was well received. Without getting into a lot of detail of the design and the actual infrastructure, we're going to end up installed, in part of this project, we're going to install about 30 new, over 30 new stormwater inlets, storm sewers ranging in size from 18 to a very large 54 inches in diameter. One storm sewer boring, which is, doesn't describe how exciting it is, but it's what it's installation where we actually have an open pit boring and drilling horizontally beneath the railroad, which is, again, goes back to what we had to get for permitting and approvals from them. Some temporary road closures to get a little more into detail on that. Our work in West Chocolate Avenue per PennDOT requirements will only happen at night. So we were, during the design project, we're trying to figure out what kind of road closures we have, what the impacts would be. It turns out by permit, we have to do that at night anyway. So there's a bit of a benefit of that to the public that during the day, there will be no road closures. At night, there'll be a single lane road closure. Still have traffic control regardless, but a lot less impact to the public during the course of their day. Traffic control will be included with that. Ridge Road will, when they're doing the boring work, they will have to stage an access on Ridge Road in front of the underpass. So that Ridge Road will be closed completely there from about the entrance to Hershey Plaza down to the underpass. Access into the plaza and into the back of the businesses will still be open during the entire time. When we extend and move further up into Ridge Road, we'll have to cross in front of those entrances. So for a brief period, there'll be some lane closures in front of Hershey Plaza and the entrance to the back of the businesses, but thankfully it won't be for a too extended of a period. And then on south of Ridge Road, there'll be lane closures at that point too, but that's obviously off the main routes of traffic, so the impact should be a lot less.
Mike, can I ask a quick question?
Of course.
Underneath the bridge, going on the bridge, how long do you estimate that might be closed for?
Well, probably to do the boring, we're looking at probably a solid 2 weeks.
Can you make it longer? Sure. I'm only half kidding.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, that Ridge Road at that point will be, yeah, at least 2 weeks. The boring operation has to go 24/7. Depending on what boring contractor we talk to, it could be, we can get it done in a week or a little more, but I would say conservatively, they'll be there for 2 weeks.
Okay, yeah. Thank you.
Sure. Any other questions before I move on?
Just, Mike, just Sure. Please make sure that you coordinate with Becky from the township, because I would like to see, I think all of us would appreciate, because there's more and more, there are projects around the township where we're closing roads to allow for the construction. We want to make sure that we're pushing out as much information to folks, letting them know about the road closures. So please coordinate with Becky. Absolutely. As that's happening, so she can get that information out.
Yeah, we did a lot of that with the other projects, Deer Run and Oakmont and projects of that like, but they were obviously off the beaten path a little bit, and the updates were regular and as needed, but this one I'm looking at weekly, really, to keep everything update. We're actually in the process too of revamping our website, DTMA's website, so we're going to have that probably even more active, at least a little more, not more active, more detail really on our website as this project progresses too. So,
Mike, to piggyback on this year's question, when you're working on chocolate, are you going to have any signage at either ends of chocolate?
Yeah, they have full traffic control that they have to do according to their permit and according to their design. We're also looking at maybe getting some advanced signing too, the digital signing further out. That's maybe not quite required by the PennDOT permit, but we want to do it anyway on either side.
Good.
Yeah,
yeah. Thank you.
I think we want to do that weeks before construction starts.
Just give them a heads up.
Yeah, very similar to what we did on Wood Road when we closed that. Yeah. All right, for schedule. Look, we broke the project up into five general areas or phases. In blue, that is the area on Park Boulevard and also going down to Hershey Park and their private access drive. And you can see the larger blue part, the rectangular, that's where it will discharge ultimately to Spring Creek. The green area is the area that's the boring underneath the railroad. Yellow is in front of Hershey Plaza up Ridge Avenue to Chocolate. The beige there is right in Chocolate Avenue, and the red, South First, West Caracas, in front of Wells Fargo, et cetera. The first stage, as I mentioned, they look to be starting that in August. We haven't had definitive exact dates from our contractor yet. We're actually having a pre-construction meeting with them and the township as well, and ourselves and the engineer on Friday to go over the nuance of the project and dive into schedule a little more. They are required by contract to give us a very detailed schedule, but for the purposes of this meeting, I try to get them like broad phases so you understand at least generally where things will be. But that being said, the area in blue should be between August and October of 2024. The boring, one of the things we had looked at is maybe them doing the boring first. That was a bit of my preference, but obviously their means and methods as a contractor, they're allowed to construct as they say fit, as long as it doesn't defy any of our design parameters or standards. But as of just recently, it looks like they want to start at the bottom first and work their way, which is normally how you just build storm sewers anyway, from the bottom up. But again, that's something we'll refine a little further. If there is any changes to that, to this, we'll definitely let everyone know. Work all the way up into Ridge happens up until January. If you remember from some of my other our transportation program meetings, I was looking a little more positively at maybe them working in January and February, continuing this project during the winter. It still potentially could happen depending on conditions, but they actually are looking at taking a bit of a break, if you will, at that point. They'd rather not work in the winter if they don't have to. It's a good stopping point where they're at. They would come back in April to start the work on West Chocolate. May, and after that, May and June will be the remaining of the work up
so
through.
So, Mike,
yeah.
So if they're not going to work in the winter, is that because of the cold and the snow possibly? We've had mild winters.
That's like, as I mentioned, this is still high level, let me a little bit preliminary, so at least want to have something here tonight that you can get a feel of where we're going to be and when. I would, conditions may work that they can do that.
Yeah, because we've got the community center built during the winter.
Yeah, yeah. Doing line installation, utility installation in the winter is not really a bad thing, provided the weather's not terrible. When you are on a street, especially a very street of high demand, winter paving, it's temporary paving, it's cold patch kind of stuff.
Yeah,
it doesn't really... It's not the best. So if unless there's some really reason where you have to do it, I'm not opposed to them taking a break until warmer weather, especially on Chocolate Avenue. If it was more of a side street, the impact would be a little less, particularly with paving. So yeah, that brings us up to June. That last phase should be finished in June of 2025. Yes, it is. I'm pleased actually with the contractor. He was conservative what he said, you know. So it's we had a bit of a delay awarding this, and to his credit, he said, "Well, I can look to get this done in December." And it's a big, complex project. There's a lot of utilities. There's a lot of things to be very meticulous about. Moving the schedule out, I'm actually fond of the fact that he's trying to be very conservative as to when and where he's going to be. And we're pleased we have Anchorwitz doing this. They were encountered a lot of utility difficulties on our Spring Creek job, and we're very, very skilled and conscientious about it. So it's a blessing to have them on there. The rest of the presentation I have here, just more of the detailed plans. I won't belabor the engineering stuff that makes engineers go crazy and might be not quite as exciting to everyone else looking at. But they're included in the packet here. So that's the section from the creek up through the private drive of Hershey Park, through Park Boulevard, underneath the boring underneath the railroad. That the lower part of the drawing there, you see that kind of half rectangle? That's actually on the property of Hershey Plaza. That's where we'll actually excavate a rather large pit excavation where the drilling equipment will literally drill underneath the railroad. The smaller pit to the north is called the receiving pit, and that's where the line will come out and ultimately connect to the other system on either side. This is the section on Chocolate Avenue, as you can see, going east, where we're running the extra sewer running up the street. You can see we have three inlets in front of the businesses that were struggling right in front of where the orange screen, the orange fence is. So we made extra sure that was a robust system there to pull all that water out of there. And the rest of it with the smaller lines of the sewers on the upper end extends all the way up to West Caracas.
Mike, that's all gravity fed, right?
Correct.
How's that going to be dumped into the creek, in the spring creek?
That'll go straight into, this will all drain straight into the...
Is it... I'm just thinking, with the added flooding water, the stormwater runoff, is that going to contribute to more flooding down the creek in the park?
No. Reason being is it eventually gets there anyway. This just puts it in a more efficient system and keeps it out of the road.
Is that because of the size of the pipe that's going down? You said you were going to a...
Yeah, where it runs down ridge before it gets to the underpass. It's an old box culvert. It's in rather poor shape. It's got a lot of debris in it. In fact, you bring up a good point. One of the things we were looking to do is, as part of this project, was actually replace that line too, which unfortunately that would be very, very difficult and adds a lot. Yeah, exactly. And it adds a lot more cost to it. So it's what we're doing here is we're taking all the load off of that sewer, bringing it down to a brand new system. And that means of another point too. A lot of this isn't really in the same spot. We instead of going underneath the underpass, we wrap around the side. What goes to the underpass will stay in place. So it'll still receive some stormwater because some of the things are still interconnected, but the load and demand on that sewer will be greatly, greatly reduced. So it's actually a bit of a bonus, at least for the system capacity. But as for your question specifically, it all eventually gets to Spring Creek anyway.
Sure.
This might deliver it a little faster, but from the impact of the whole drainage area, it shouldn't affect Spring
just
Creek at all.
Just get water off of John.
Yes.
And we coordinated this design with Hershey Park construction management folks, and they really appreciated moving that volume of water away from that low spot in their common. So it's going to get a lot of washout down there, so this will greatly improve their operations as well.
All right, Mike, you got it. Couple minutes to wrap up here.
That's the bulk of it. That was the last slide. Any questions? Yeah.
Since I'm the smart aleck that asked you to wrap up, I will just, the question to ponder rhetorically perhaps is, before there was ever all the development downtown on Chocolate Avenue, there was a stormwater issue around Ridge Road and that underpass.
Mm-hmm.
I don't understand anymore how that project could have been developed, and no one figured out that prior to it becoming your problem, mm-hmm. no one figured out that the stormwater would only become a bigger problem with all the significant increase in impervious coverage there. Like, so it seems like everybody kicked the can down the road, and you guys unfortunately were the ones that caught it 10 years later, but that should have been an issue that was addressed perhaps by the developer.
You bring up a good point. And one of the things that we've talked at DTMA, we've talked to the township during the development of the stormwater ordinance. Stormwater calculations are not inherently, they are officially, they're empirical. They're not hard actual math. I should say actual math. They're more based off statistics, they're estimates, they have a range, they're empirical equations developed after a bunch of data, and you make an equation to match it. They are inherently not perfectly accurate, and a lot of designs or a lot of situations where you develop a stormwater management plan and the numbers work, and they're right and they're done correctly, but you can still have a 15-20% swing either way. They're not meant to be perfect, and sometimes it's hard to put a high-level judgment on a calculation and look at how it interconnects with development you had this year, 10 years ago. There's sometimes when you have multiple developments, they daisy chain their releases and their stormwater together. That used to be timed a certain way, even though you're retaining it and you're managing it. Now their timing matches up though, and it becomes an impact or an impounding impact where things actually get a little, and sometimes can get a little worse, even though you did everything right. So I think there's a push in the industry to look a little more at higher level, bigger areas when it comes to a stormwater management plan. You might have a development that is small and sits on a corner or sits in a certain part of the township or some municipality that the calculations work, but when you zoom out, well, this has a greater impact or a compounding impact of other things around. The timing changes, and all of a sudden it might be a little worse, and it's very hard to predict.
I accept that as the truth because I know it is. I will just add as an asterisk to that point. This was all done at Ridge Road's at the bottom of two hills, and we built a big development of stores there and more parking. So I agree with that 20% one way or another, yeah. But it was like, we should have figured it was going to be 100% on the upside. But that is not a Derry Township Municipal Authority issue. Yeah. But I appreciate your doing it. The only reason I even bring it up is it's $5 million of construction. And, you know, that's it. So, and you guys fortunately been able to get a lot of grant money towards this. And so the residents really aren't getting stuck with this bill. But it could have been worse. They could have been getting stuck with the bill. So it's like my colleague, Vice Chair Nutt, has said to me in the past, it bears a stunning resemblance to traffic studies, too. Like, that's people come to the meetings and they tell us what it's going to be, and then they build the project and it's much worse. And then we keep saying, I believe that you're doing the calculations right, but it's not what's happening on the ground, right? So, you know.
And you guys, wise engineering takes it with a grain of salt and go, okay, the numbers match, but let me step back and go, what is really happening here? What could possibly happen?
Yeah.
You make it a little more robust. If you want to, if I can share anecdotal story in the past when I was on the land development side a long time ago, I'd do these stormwater calculations and I'd say there's a runoff of 50.5 CFS. My calculation said that, cubic feet per second, I'd leave it at 50. And sometimes I got comments where, well, we looked at it and it's really 50.35. And I scratched my head like, it could be 60 or 42. You know, that's just what it's giving you. So about as accurate as you can get. But there might be scenarios like this where you've reached that threshold where that inaccuracy actually hurts you a little bit.
Yeah. Well, thank you for the update. It's great to hear from you guys. And we know we see a lot of the good work getting done. And because we're familiar with the authority, we know whose work it is, whether it's the township or the authority. A lot of folks don't understand the difference. So it's really great to see both groups active and building the infrastructure, you know, improving the infrastructure in the community. And so thank you. Thank you for bringing this and making it
and,
more public.
Like I said, we're having a pre-construction meeting with ourselves, the contractor, the township this week. I've reached out to the property owners, Hershey Company, Hershey Entertainment, Hershey Plaza. Told them this is coming, been in constant communication with them. We're going to have individual pre-construction meetings with each one of them so they understand what the particular impact is on their area of concern, in particular the Plaza. I've reached out to them a lot.
Yeah.
So we're going to have additional meetings with them between now and the actual kickoff date.
Good.
So,
all right, Mike. Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thank you, Bill. Appreciate it. All right, we will move to the next item, which is B. It's the construction of a new accessory structures at 505 Rear West Chocolate Avenue, Hershey, within the downtown core overlay zoning district. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. In accordance with the zoning ordinance, the Board of Supervisors does have the sole authority for any new construction of a principal building, principal structure, accessory building, or accessory structure located in the downtown core zoning district. Hidden Steel is proposing to construct three grain storage bins. Additionally, the applicant proposes to paint the Hidden Steel logo on the tallest of the grain bins, which we consider a wall sign, which is addressed in the zoning ordinance. The applicant has provided renderings of the proposed grain storage bins for the board's consideration. In and of itself, the structures seem to have many of the design elements that are desired of a structure under the downtown core standards. The materials and color palette are similar to the style of the principal building, carrying a somewhat industrial look, which is appropriate for the site. The grain storage bins are nestled between an existing silo and the distilling building. The board needs to make a determination as to whether or not the new accessory structures are designed in a similar style and palette to the principal, to the primary building for which they are accessory to. The Downtown Core Design Board, at their meeting on June 24th, issued a certificate of appropriateness for the proposal, indicating that the proposal was consistent with the provisions of the zoning ordinance. and the downtown core design standards. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors approves the construction of the three grain storage bins and associated concrete pad as submitted under the Downtown Core Design Board application number 487. Jack Roddenbush is here if perchance you have any questions about the project.
Jack, before you say anything.
Yes, sir.
Why don't you see if the board, whether the board has any questions? Maybe this is a very quick item.
I'm only here for color commentary.
Perfect. Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Emmerich? We know Mr. Roddenbush is here in case there are questions. The Downtown Core Design Review Board approved this. Any questions about it? I don't either. Is Natalie?
No.
Carter?
What's stored in each one of them?
Corn, wheat, and barley.
Is that biggest to the smallest or smallest to biggest?
It is the biggest to the smallest.
Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
If there are no other questions, and it doesn't appear there are, and the information we have in our packet is fairly detailed, is there a motion?
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors approves the construction of three grain storage bins, also known as silos, and associated concrete pad at 505 Rear West Chocolate Avenue, as submitted under Downtown Core Design Board application number 487.
Very good. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Corrado. Any questions, comments? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is unanimously passed. Thank you, Mr. Roundbush. We appreciate it.
See you, Chair.
The next item on the agenda is C. It's a consideration of the second time extension for conditional approval of the preliminary final land development plan for the Derry Township Municipal Authority Garage Addition. It's plat 1376. Mr. Emmerich?
Plat 1376 proposes a 4,843 square foot addition to an existing 7,846 square foot building located at the Municipal Authority Complex. The property is in the planned campus zoning district. The site is accessed from Clearwater Road and contains 27.89 acres. The board initially approved this plan on July 5th, 2023. The applicant is requesting a second time extension until January 31st of 2025 to address the outstanding conditions. I'm recommending that the extension be granted.
Does anyone have any questions for Mr. Emmerich about this request, about this issue? All right, hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that the approval of the preliminary final land development plan for Derry Township Municipal Authority Garage Addition, plat 1376, is extended till January 31st, 2025, subject to compliance with items 1 through 16 in the department head recommendation section of this agenda item.
All right, thank you, Mr. Corrado. Motion's made by Mr. Corrado. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion is seconded by Mr. Zamuda. Are there any questions or comments at this time? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Postick. Thank you, Mr. Rika.
Thank you, Chuck and Janelle, for working with us on this. We definitely look to address these comments between now and the next extension period. So thank you very much.
Thank you very much. All right, the next item, the last under new business, is D. It's the consideration of approval of Amendment Number 1 to the Development Agreement with the Department of General Services of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania and the Pennsylvania State Police for the State Police's Land Development Plan. Mr. Emmerich. Or Mr. Nelson. It says Mr. Armstrong, so.
I can handle this. And Chuck, you can correct me when I'm wrong. Yeah. So, in the unlike many other developers, the Commonwealth requires us in our development agreement to state a not to exceed figure as far as reimbursements for our professional services. This original agreement had $40,000 in there. We are approaching that under the terms of the agreement. We can amend it to raise this do not exceed number, which we are proposing to do to $80,000. It's just, I think, the state bureaucracy requires this number. They don't like a unlimited amount that they could reimburse us for. So this is merely to raise this do not exceed number to $80,000 in total.
Any questions for Mr. Nelson? Seems reasonable under the circumstances. Do we have a motion?
I move that the board approve and authorize the execution of Amendment Number 1 to Development Agreement for the Pennsylvania State Police Commonwealth of Pennsylvania Land Development Plan, Plat 1352.
All right. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
Okay.
Motion is seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any comment or questions? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. That concludes the items under new business. We'll move to supervisor, board, or committee reports. We'll begin with Mr. Zamuda.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I have nothing tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Zamuda. Mr. Corrado?
Keeping with that theme, nothing to report.
Thank you, Mr. Corrado. Mrs. Nutt?
No report this evening.
All right. And Mr. Wyckoff?
I have no report. Thank you.
All right. And as I also have no report, we will quickly conclude supervisor board committee reports. The next item is departmental report. The first is the police department. Chief Warner.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The only thing I have for tonight is we were notified by the Justice and Security Strategies and the Bureau of Justice Assistance that we have received an initial notification of award. I think it's a little bit over $10,000. To expand our body-worn camera program in the department. We'll be able to outfit the four new officers that we recently hired, and we're checking into legal issues as far as also having the community service officers equipped with body cams. We have to check on some wiretap issues and things like that, but we're hoping that they'll also be permitted to wear the body-worn cameras while working. So this moves us into phase two. We have to provide some documentation, but hopefully we'll be successful. We were only one of 170 agencies nationwide that were issued monies out of this grant, so it's a pretty good achievement on our part. Lieutenant Roach did some really good grant writing to
excellent
to get that initial part done. So,
thank you, Chief, and thank Lieutenant Roach for us. We appreciate. We know the grant writing isn't easy, and he's obviously been doing a good job out of it for a long time. And glad to see that we're on the way towards getting that grant money for that important equipment. Hershey Volunteer Fire Department, Mr. Sassaman.
Thank you. I have nothing for this evening. Thank you.
All right. Thank you, David. Public Works, Greg.
Thank you. We're taking advantage of slower mowing season in the parks to do some extra cleaning, pressure washing of equipment and pavilions, and also taking advantage of the closing of Homestead Road between East Governor and Bachmanville. It's closed for the roundabout project. So Public Works in-house is doing some base repair and mill and pave in that area that it's easier to do with the road closed. And it is tree ordinance violation letter writing season, so we are keeping busy with that.
Yeah, I appreciate, Greg, the team. You guys, you worked diligently to take care of that situation with the tree in the village, which was blocking the stop sign, and I appreciate that the homeowner was willing to move quickly when notified. And I think it's just an important message for everybody in the township. When you have trees next to sidewalks or by street corners, you know, make sure you're pruning the trees. People need to be able to walk on the sidewalks without being obstructed by branches. And we can't have trees or shrubs encroaching upon stop signs. And that is, it's an important thing. And not everybody realizes that's their responsibility. But appreciate that, how quickly you guys got out and handled that.
And there are some, I'd say, deficiencies in the tree ordinance that I'd like to address and amend to allow us to act even quicker and alleviate some of those trees and the distance that they can be to the intersection.
Yeah, I think that'd be a good idea, and I think the board would be receptive. You and I talked about that a little bit. I think the board would be receptive of modifying the ordinance to reflect that. All right, moving along. This is Jacobine Library.
So we're currently at 114,540 minutes read by our summer reading readers, so I'm very proud of that. We're having a Pokemon party on July 18th at 2 p.m. And then I just wanted to remind everyone that the book sale is planned for August 3rd through 6th this year, and that's one of the biggest fundraisers, so please come out and support the library.
Yeah, great. Thank you very much. Parks and Rec, Mr. Jackson.
Our first drive-in movie of the season will be this Friday at Shank Park. That will begin at dusk, and it's free admission. It does look like some cooler temperatures towards the end of the week, so it might actually be enjoyable to be outside.
Good. And you ease our suspense and tell us what the movie will be?
The animated film DC League of Super Pets.
Oh, good. Good. Good choice. Thank you, Zach. Natalie just called my bluff. I've never seen that. Mr. Stump, Township Engineer.
One item from me tonight. The CFA multimodal application period is currently open. Grant applications are due at the end of July. In some recent program management meetings, we've discussed the improvement project at the intersection of Hawkersville and Ariba. We spoke about this even, I think, with the board last year. We were considering pursuing funding through the TSIP project, a Dauphin County TSIP project or program at that time, and then determined it was not eligible for that funding program. Kind of flagged it at that time for consideration for the CFA multimodal this round. So the general project is the lowering of the vertical curve you see in the picture above. This picture is taking from a looking southbound along Hawkersville towards the pedestrian crossing down at Ariba. Chuck, if you scroll to the other picture on there, that's the opposite direction, standing from the crosswalk looking back up Hawkersville. That's really the main issue or point of concern. There's the crosswalk at Ariba has very limited sight distance. It does meet the minimums for the posted speed of 35, but just barely, just by a few feet. And no, it doesn't meet for much faster than that. So we'd like to lower the curve, improve the sight lines coming over, as well as improve sight lines for vehicles at Ariba as well. So, at this point in time, it's somewhat of an update. Want to make sure we had general support from the board. Assuming we do, we would move forward, prepare the application, get a more refined sketch and cost estimate, and then come back for formal action at the next meeting. We didn't want to go that far if there wasn't no support for the for pursuing that with this grant application at this time.
I mean, it does. It seems like it's. I think we're all familiar with that. We're all familiar with Hawkersville Road and that crosswalk there. So I think we'd like you to pursue it further and let us know, follow up with us on it at a future meeting. But yeah, I think you could look into it.
The other general consideration, we don't need an exact answer now, that would be helpful. There is a 30% local match requirement for the CFA multimodal, but that can be waived for municipal applicants.
Okay.
Obviously, the application is more competitive if you don't request a waiver, but that's certainly an option. Some municipalities choose to do a 10% or 20% match or zero.
If ultimately we decided that we looked at a cost-benefit analysis and we thought, maybe we don't necessarily have the funding initially to do that project, but maybe the flashing lights like we have on Cocoa Avenue that might serve us. I mean, wouldn't reduce that slope, but it would alert drivers. I mean, the one on Cocoa, I think, is great. And I'm just wondering if that would be another alternative that we should consider.
Certainly, that could be a treatment that could be installed here. I have to look at utility to make sure there's room for that, but there's no reason, off the top of my head, why that wouldn't be a viable option too, or even whether that's in the interim or.
Right. It's difficult for people to cross at that intersection. That's not an intersection at that part of the road. That's very difficult to cross. You have cars coming out from. Mm-hmm. Is that Briarcrest right there? You know what I'm talking about, Mike?
Just add to that, since I use that intersection regularly, it's also hard to pull a vehicle out because you can't see.
Right, you can't, right. So that's exactly also, right.
It would improve vehicle. There's been quite a few accidents in that corner.
Yeah. People are going to three different directions from every direction. It's tough. So, yeah, I think we should explore all of the options for that particular area.
This also includes a sidewalk treatment.
Yes, good point. That would be sidewalks on both sides of the road, if you can pull up the aerial. So it would install a sidewalk between Ariba and Chocolate. Yeah, so there's missing gaps on both sides of the road. Yeah. There would likely be some property impacts from lowering the road. There would also be likely, even if you got a full waiver, the grant program caps engineering fees at 10% of the total project cost. Between engineering, CA, CI, tends to be in excess of 10. So there would be some expenditures from the township, even if you do get the full waiver. So again, I want to make sure. Understand that as well. So there's, even though there's, I think, good benefit from the project, there's still certainly some no downside, even if the grant were fully funded. At a planning level cost, yes. Thank you. That's it for me.
I have nothing to add this evening. Thank you.
Mr. Crispin, Township Manager.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to report, if you haven't been downtown in the last 24 hours, our Veterans Memorial Project has gotten its kickoff. We had our first construction meeting downtown today with participation from Parks and Rec, Public Works, Community Development, and our consultants. So you'll see fencing starting to go up around the park probably today if it hasn't. I know it was delivered. It was being delivered this morning. As we were there, and I think we'll start to see some construction activity, if not later this week, first part of next week, we'll start to see some trees being removed that were identified on the plan. So further progress is coming. So it's a good project for us. I think it's exciting. Our contractor is excited about it. Let us know about that several times today. So we're looking forward to it.
And I'm wondering if we can keep pictures that detail the progress and have them on our website or put them out. I think that'd be kind of neat for people just to see the progress. Thanks, Becky.
And Chris, any consideration for a sign that says future site of the Veterans Memorial, hanging off those fences?
We did talk about that this morning, so we're going to move forward with having that done. So, yes, there will be signage on, I think, three different spots on the fencing so that as people are walking near or around the park, they'll see that. Just a quick question, maybe it's to the police department, as we're trying to gather, as Garth's taking a drink, sorry. As we're trying to gather photos, maybe it's a nice opportunity for the drones to go up and take some aerial photos of Chocolate Town Park as it's kind of going through its phases, just throwing it out there as an ask.
Yeah,
Yeah, I think we can do that. You don't want any leaflet drops or anything like that?
No.
We can do that, too.
No, we're. I think just pictures.
That's all I have, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Crispin. Thanks for that update. The next item on the agenda is our second visitor public comment session. So anybody wishing to come up now, this is the time to do it. Again, same rules as the first time. First name, last name, address. Try to keep your comments to about 3 minutes. Anybody wishing to come forward? All right. I see no one coming forward, so we'll move to the next item, which is adjournment. We'll need a motion.
I'll make a motion for adjournment.
All right. Motion made by Mr. Zamuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries, and we are adjourned. Thank you, everyone.